And welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show here on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening this morning. Still to come on the program from the Association of County Commissions of Alabama, Sonny Brassfield, and State Senator Chris Elliott. That's in the 11 o'clock hour, so make sure that you stick around for that. Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce this next guest. Been very kind to yours truly over the years, and is now finds himself in the spotlight as the man of the hour. Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama's 5th Congressional District joins us on the line. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for making time for us. I needed to get you on here. It looks to me like your plan to challenge the Electoral College has really taken off.
I'm sorry, but you just kind of went out with what you were saying.
It looks like your plan to challenge the Electoral College has really taken off. It's really looking like it's at least getting some traction from a lot of people, maybe in the public, but I guess it remains to be seen the way your colleagues on Capitol Hill are reacting to it.
In the House side, momentum is building strongly in favor of fighting various state submissions of Electoral College votes, to mention a few, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania. It's quite clear, based on overwhelming evidence, that Donald Trump, if the law was obeyed, if only lawful votes cast by American citizens were counted, Donald Trump easily won those three states. And as the evidence comes out to a larger and larger degree, the public is, of course, starting to react. They're starting to better understand this voter fraud and election theft crisis that we're in. And they're demanding that their congressmen and senators help clean up our election system. And part of that cleanup is making sure that those who try to steal elections do not profit from it. So it's moving in the right direction.
Sir, say to our audience, our listeners, how exactly does this work?
Well, a lot of people don't understand. They think the courts resolve these disputes. That is false, okay? Courts can influence the outcome, no question, like they did in Florida in the year 2000. But on the United States Constitution, Article 1, Sections 4 and 5, Article 2 and the 12th Amendment, the United States Congress has absolute final say on election contests that involve any federal elected position. That's the House, that's the Senate, and that's the White House. And I'm hopeful that we will exercise that authority and protect the sanctity of our voting system and stop the election theft that is undermining credibility in our republic.
So for this to get going, you have you in the House, but you need a Senate component as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. The procedure is on January 6th at 1 o'clock. States will submit to the United States Congress with Vice President Mike Pence presiding, so it's a joint session. The states will submit to Congress their purported Electoral College vote results. And it's done in alphabetical order, and at any point in time, if one House member and one senator files a joint objection, then the submissions by other states are stopped. We immediately take a two-hour recess from the joint Congress. The Senate goes back to their Senate chambers. The House stays in the House side. We have 2 hours of debate. At the conclusion of that 2 hours, we must have a House floor vote, and we must have a Senate floor vote on whether to accept or reject a state's Electoral College vote submission.
So from that point, it would take, I assume, a majority of votes in each chamber to take it to that next stage?
Well, you're kind of right. In the Senate, that is clearly the case. They have 100 senators, and a majority determines the outcome. If it's 50-50, then Mike Pence, as vice president, would be breaking the tie. In the House, there's some ambiguity about what a winning vote is. Under the 12th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is the provision of law that says that the House elects the President of the United States, the voting standard is not by individual congressmen, but rather by states. And we have 27 states controlled by Republicans, where Republicans are the majority of that state's delegation. The Democrats have 20, and then there are three that are tied, where half the delegation is Republican, half is Democrat. But in any event, we have a 27-20 majority if we vote by state delegations. The other potential voting method is a majority vote of the members of the House, 435, in which case the Democrats have a razor-thin majority. And there will be a big battle over which system prevails. Do you vote by states, as is required by the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, when you're actually electing the President of the United States in the House of Representatives? Or does that law bleed over into a very closely related matter, which is the acceptance or rejection of a state's electoral college vote submission, which in turn controls the election of the President of the United States of America?
Well, tell me this. Your objection, it sounds like, I've seen this in the press reports, but I want to get you on the record here, that it's not really anything that we're maybe seeing play out on TV or the day-by-day, blow-by-blow allegations of election fraud. You think that perhaps illegal, that the votes were cast by people that weren't eligible to vote in this presidential election in some states?
Oh, the evidence is overwhelming that that has transpired, and the evidence accumulates. By way of example, in Nevada yesterday, there was sworn evidence of over 90,000 illegal votes cast in Nevada. 4,000 identified as illegal aliens who voted in Clark County, just that one county alone. 1,000 or two who were dead, yet they voted. There were 40,000 ballots that were counted where the individual voted twice and both votes were counted. You've got 10, 20, 30,000 voters who voted when they give addresses for places that don't exist according to the United States Post Office, or their addresses are out of state or out of country, or their addresses for commercial residents, a commercial place of business where nobody lives. And so you've got a lot of factors like this. And in Nevada, where Biden is claiming a victory of about 30,000, I'd wager probably 90% of those 90,000 illegal ballots that have been identified so far went for Joe Biden. You take those out, Donald Trump wins by 30 or 40, maybe 50,000 votes.
And then I guess when you say that this isn't something that is deliberated in a courtroom, that essentially the debate process and in each chamber of Congress is serves as kind of the courtroom when talking about the election and each state's election totals.
The United States Congress serves as both the judge and the jury, and there is no appeal from the decision that we make.
So then, is there anything the Speaker of the House could do, or anything parliamentary that could gum up this and make it more difficult for this to play out like you're laying it out for us?
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is very creative. I'm sure there are going to be some things that they're going to attempt to do. By way of example, I think they're going to try to steal some House races where the states have certified one or two candidates as winning. In Iowa, the Republican candidate has been certified as winning. We've got a similar situation in New York where the Republican candidate is ahead by the official count. And in Iowa, at least, instead of that Democrat candidate appealing that ruling that the Republican candidate won, instead of appealing it to a judge in Iowa or the Secretary of State in Iowa, that Democrat candidate has filed a written appeal to the House of Representatives, triggering our role in resolving election contests. And so if they steal some of these House races, that's going to increase their majority in the House of Representatives, which in turn might affect the presidential race. By way of example, right now, if you follow the legal votes as certified by the state of Iowa, Republicans hold a 3-1 majority. So that's a pretty safe Republican state when Iowa casts their vote. However, if a Democrat is put in over a Republican, then it's a 2-2 tie, and we've just lost one of our states that we could otherwise depend on in trying to resolve this election contest.
The You need a senator though to take up the
call. That
calls.
Is correct.
What have you had any interest or discussions or anything indicating that that might happen?
I have confidence that it will happen. In fairness, I have not asked any House member to join me. I have not asked any senator to join me. What I've been doing at this point in time is first trying to make sure people understand the law, that it's Congress that has the responsibility of making this decision. You know, a lot of freshmen who just got elected, they had no clue. Okay? They're like a lot of other people, thought it was the courts that resolved these kind of election contests. And so they have to learn the Constitution and the federal statutes, and I'm doing my job to educate them so that now this issue is on their radar screen where they may ultimately have a vote as a judge or a juror. Then next, I have to work on communicating the overwhelming evidence that establishes that this election is in the process of being stolen by the socialist Democrats. And as more and more evidence comes to light, people are going, wow, this is bad. Yeah, in Nevada, it's bad. In Georgia, I don't know if you've seen the videotape. Have you seen that yet,
yes,
Jeff? Are you familiar with it?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that is damning. That is shocking. That is horrible. That is egregious. And the people involved, if it is what it appears to be, ought to be prosecuted. It is absolutely wrong for someone to sneak in four suitcases full of ballots, hide them under a table, they did that before the place opened, late at night, direct that everybody leave the facility because vote counting has ended, so it gets reduced to just four or five co-conspirators, which appears to be the case. The time will tell if they have some kind of legitimate explanation. Then after all of our Republican poll watchers, after all the media is forced to leave at about 10:30 or 11 at night, then they roll out these hidden suitcases and start stuffing thousands upon thousands, probably 15,000 to 18,000 ballots into the voting machines over the next 2.5 hours. That kind of conduct certainly looks criminal, and it certainly is enough to have probable cause for arrests and search warrants, and I hope that law enforcement over in Georgia will act on this expeditiously that we can get to the bottom of it. Maybe there's a reasonable explanation, but on the surface of it, people who are innocent, who are actually counting votes as the law requires, don't order all of the potential witnesses to leave the facility. Fortunately for us, all of this was captured on a security camera on videotape. And so you can see what is happening with your own eyes. And as I said, it's damning. And that one box in and of itself may be enough to shift the election in Georgia from the Biden column to the Trump column. And keep in mind, this was probably organized on a statewide level by professional election thieves. So what you saw at one box is probably also what was happening at other boxes. If these ballots are forgeries, that means someone had to print them. Someone had to organize getting the ballots or printing the ballots and then having the ballots filled in so that the machines would register them. And that means that there probably was a central processing place. And if you're an election thief, you don't do it all in one place. You spread it out to magnify the chances of success.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama's 5th Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, are you surprised? The DOJ, William Barr, has given indicators that he isn't really interested or he doesn't believe there's enough there to warrant some kind of an investigation. Are you surprised by that reaction from a Trump administration?
No, I'm not at all surprised because the way in which the mainstream news media, what we call the fake news media, has distorted what William Barr has done, okay? He has so far not said that there wasn't fraud, which is the way the news media distorts it. What he has said is he didn't have enough information right now to conclude that the fraud is so widespread that it changes the election result. Basically, keep in mind how many years it took for the Russian collusion investigation, how much time it took for the Democrats to trump up their impeachment charges. You know, all these things take time, and the FBI has only had 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, and the information is still coming to their attention. So there's no way in the world that our justice system can adequately address the problem that we face, and you should not expect William Barr to be able to say, oh, yeah, we have slam-dunk cases enough to change the election outcome. That's a wholly inappropriate expectation. It's an impossible expectation. And so William Barr said, what do you ought to say? And that is, well, right now, you know, they might not have started any investigations, or they might just have dipped their big toe into the process where they've just barely started looking at stuff. It's way too early. It's very premature to expect William Barr to be able to start arresting people for voter fraud or election theft. Although this video of what transpired in Georgia, in one of the socialist Democrat areas, that, like I said, is damning. And if you can't jump all over that like a duck on a June bug, then there's something wrong.
Well, right. That to me is the first red flag, and it took private citizens or individuals or whatever coming and making and highlighting it. This seems like a no-brainer, you know.
Well, that's the way it is with almost all crime.
Right.
Is that a private citizen comes forward with information that piques the interest of investigators or of prosecutors, who then delve into it deeper, do a more thorough investigation with search warrants. They look at and examine the documents. They question witnesses. But it's really law enforcement, to a very large degree. Ask anyone who's in law enforcement. The vast majority of it is because a citizen has made a complaint and directed law enforcement's attention to something that is bad wrong, at which point investigators are supposed to do their thing.
But the problem is, you put the onus on people that aren't necessarily privy to having all the available information or all the access to where a crime might have occurred. And so you're putting it, let's say, on the Trump campaign in this instance. They don't have access to what the state governments have. So is it reasonable that the Department of Justice has to just wait around and wait for some private citizen to come forward to prove that there was election fraud?
Well, what I'm saying is the judicial system needs to have someone to point them in the right direction. You just don't run to Winnebago Baptist Church, a voting location in Southeast Huntsville, and start investigating. That's a waste of personnel and resources. You have to have somebody who, in the first instance, directs you to something that has gone wrong. So that's where we need what, you know, you might call them whistleblowers if you're in a governmental context. But you got to have somebody who says, hey, this is fishy. This is bad. And what's coming to light, unfortunately, I think we're going to absolutely overwhelm our judicial system and our investigative capacity, because the voter fraud and election theft is so massive, unlike anything we've ever seen before in the history of the United States of America.
Congressman, we're out of time. We got to leave it there. But thank you so much for coming on and answer some of these questions, just to clear some of this up. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jeff. And if I could just ask one thing. People, go look at that Georgia Senate hearing and watch that videotape.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners haven't reacted to it. Congressman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
That was Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Like I said, man of the hour right now when it comes to challenging the Electoral College. Let's get a break in here. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.